This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, Denton, CJ texted me and said Buffalo and New Jersey have already played two NHL games already. They played on Friday and Saturday over the weekend in Prague. So last night was not the start of the unheralded, not marketed well, open to the NHL season. We'll talk NHL when we get to the playoffs. Kidding! We'll have some Caps people on before the opener. Will we this week? Are we going to try to get a Caps guest on Friday? Maybe we can get Ted on. I'll try to get Ted on. That'll work. Joining us right now is one of my favorite guests, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our friend Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post, at Barry, Svrluga, on X on Twitter. Barry wrote on Sunday after the 34-13 win over Cleveland, and I thought this was it made me smile and giggle a little bit. When Dan Quinn was answering that question from David Aldridge about how demoralizing it is to on 3rd and 13 to watch the quarterback, if you're Cleveland, you know, scramble around, create more time and throw a 66-yard bomb. And part of that answer, he talked about, you know, the offense, quite honestly, it was grimy to start. And Barry wrote, Coach, we know what grimy offense looks like. What happened Sunday? The Commanders scrubbed the grime off. Yeah, we really do know what grimy looks like. And 34 points in three quarters is not grimy. But maybe it was a little tough to start. Barry's with us right now. So I'll just start with the obvious. What's your reaction to where we are right now after 5 weeks?
I feel like I haven't stopped shaking my head since halftime on Sunday, because it was a grimy start by what are completely new standards and improved standards. And then you blink and they put that aside and they're up 24-3 and have 283 yards of offense at the half, even though for more than a quarter they didn't play well. And the things that happened, Kevin, within that are what makes you think, holy cow, not only has this turned much more quickly than I think any of us thought it would, but it turned in a way that kind of puts everything on the table. All the possibilities are there because they can overcome slow starts offensively in a way that they haven't been able to for years. They used to have to be like, well, okay, they get the ball back and they've got to go 12 plays to cover 70 yards and eat up 8 minutes of clock, and everything has to be perfect, and they have to convert 4 third downs along the way, to now where the quarterback can go to the coordinator on the side and say, hey, that was open, let's take a shot, and 41 yards later you find Deami Brown in the end zone, you're up 24-3 at half. I'm staggered by how thoroughly and how quickly both reality and ensuing expectations have turned in 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll ask you. So rank in order, who's the most responsible for us feeling this incredible change after just a month plus of the season? Who's most responsible for it? Rank them.
I go Daniels 1, Adam Peters 2, Dan Quinn 3, but Cliff Kingsbury is right behind him because he's been much better than I would have guessed and has been creative. And the reason I ranked them that way is because how many times, Kevin, in the last 10, 15, pick a number of years, have we had a conversation about they can't find the person to fix the most important position in American sports, quarterback. They have, we've talked about Carson Wentz and Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins and go down the list, like John Beck. Like that, that is, it seems like solved as long as this guy is healthy. And then I go Peters second because I think after 5 weeks, his offseason is a lot better than I thought it was when it was folding out, because I didn't think they did enough to address the offensive line. I thought they had massive problems at cornerback, and maybe they still do, and maybe those will get exposed over the course of the season. But you look at how Frankie Louvu is playing right now. You look at how Dorrance Armstrong has had an impact in the last couple of weeks. Bobby Wagner is steady. They did a lot to address the room and make it a better room, but I also think the pieces are fitting better. And I think the draft, if you look at Coleman as a potential solution at left tackle, like I think he did a ton right. And then Quinn, I'll give credit for a lot of the stuff that seems like jargony team building stuff, like really seems to be resonating with these guys, and they're a together group in a way that previous felt that way. It's Ashburn Park parking lot, getting ready to go in for a practice. I sometimes dread coming out here because you're like looking for a story, and now I'm like, I can't wait to talk to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you said so much there, starting with, oh my God, how many times over the years did we say there's only one way to overcome all of the dysfunctional mess, and that is to luck their way into a quarterback. And even if they do that, Snyder will mess it up anyway somehow. And now they have that quarterback. And you said, you know, here we are just incredibly 5 weeks into the season, and we have a limited number of possibilities, not a limited, an unlimited number of possibilities. So I'll ask you, what are the possibilities?
I think there's no ceiling on it. And that is different than saying, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I heard in your last segment, you know, that your choices of if they blow the Ravens out, it is completely legitimate conversation on Monday to say they are contenders. They would be 5-1. Only the Vikings are undefeated at this point. I find it really interesting. The last two games against Arizona and Cleveland, one thing that this team has done already that I feel like Washington teams have not done for a decade or more is take an opponent that they are better at and just beat them. Just beat them from start to finish and have the quarterback sit out the fourth quarter and have the fans go home happy. It's just such a strange feeling around here. I think if you want to get really realistic, like, how are you handicapping the division right now? Washington is the favorite in the division right now. Doesn't mean they're going to win it. Doesn't mean they're going to, go 4-0 against the Eagles and the Cowboys. But it just, I've tried to take in as much former football player and coach analysis this week to make sure that I'm checking myself, that what the optimism that I'm feeling that is almost unprecedented in my more than 20 years here, is that legit? And I'm hearing over and over and over again from Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny or Dan Orlovsky or whatever that, you know, what you're seeing is real, does not guarantee anything, particularly health of the quarterback. Right. But there's for the first time in forever, there's no reason to restrain your optimism because this is what people around here have been waiting for so long.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, going back to your rankings, it's because of Jaden Daniels. Like, there's always a chance that an NFL team, you know, can win 4 out of 5 to start the season, and you can be super optimistic, but it not come with a superstar at the most important position in sports. But this one has included that, which is why I think people like you and me are open to anything. And if they were to beat Baltimore, whether we say it or not, it's going to be the conversation. They're actually not currently the favorite to win the division. They're a slight, you know, underdog to Philly. Philly's still a slight favorite pretty much across the board. But if they win Sunday, they go from not only a division favorite, but one of the top three favorites to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And I think Jaden Daniels, if he plays well, which I think he has to, becomes perhaps the front runner for the MVP. That's insane.
It's insane. And I think, you know, if you want to tap the brakes on it a little bit, and it's very possible they lose this game, right? This is an excellent team, despite the weird Vegas results against Vegas at home. But I think what's possible over the rest of the season, if the things don't like take off like a skyrocket, is yes, the holes on the roster do show up. They're not good enough at corner. They're not good enough at edge rusher. They're not good enough at playmaking receiver. But even if that plays out, and think about this, Kevin, like already, if they go 6-6 the rest of the way, they have 10 wins. The 10-win seasons don't happen around here very often. One under Gibbs, the RG3 rookie year, I think three this century, right? They haven't won 11 games in a year since the 91 Super Bowl run. So there's a lot of paths to what we would have considered on September 1 a major step forward. Even if those holes on the roster are exposed over the next 2 or 3 months, it's not that big of a deal because they've plugged the hole that they have had for a quarter century, and that's quarterback. So it's almost like as long as he stays healthy, and that's the big if, because if we're going to have visions of RG3 if he breaks. But as long as he stays healthy, there's almost no way to come out of this season without tremendous optimism going forward, because you know you have the quarterback who, even if he's less consistent over the last 12 weeks than he has been over the first five, you know what the ability is there. You know what the work ethic is there. You know what the intelligence is there. And then you can let what looks like a very good personnel man in Adam Peters address the holes that remained on the roster. And it's really hard to think that you wouldn't go into 2025 feeling great about the team, which is all of this. Every single word I say, I'm almost stunned I'm saying it.
Yeah, and I think that it was that's such a good way to put it. It's like, even if, and I do think they might be a little bit limited defensively, regardless of the last 2 weeks. We'll see. This is a massive test Sunday. And, you know, if that ends up costing them a legitimate deep run into the postseason, I don't think it'll cost them a playoff berth or a division title. It'll matter in the moment, but you still have solved the hardest thing to solve in the game, which is that position. So we're talking to Barry Zwerluga, of course, from the Washington Post. What does this mean right now? Like, where are we going with respect to the reaction, the city? You know what it's like because you're from here. I know what it's like because I live through it because I'm from here. You know, we haven't had that. We had that during the 2012 season. But remember, they were 3-6. So it came late as they got on a run. If they win Sunday, it's the first 5-1 start since 96. You know, they've never had a big early season game like this. But you have a good feel for it. You know, a lot of us do that are in touch with a lot of the people that care about sports, care about the team. Where's this headed right now?
It's almost like the town is getting its team back in a way, and it just hasn't been joyous. It's been a slog for so long. A lot of that had to do with the owner. A lot of that had to do with not being able to figure out quarterback. A lot of it had to do with the building and where they play and what that experience was. But if you solve the quarterback, which it looks like they did, and the owner has sold the team, which he did, it's almost like a Christmas present, right? And I think it matters, Kevin, that what you said about, you know, 4-1 or 5-1, and I've written this a thousand different ways so much that I worry about plagiarizing myself, like, they are always chasing the season, and you can't. Was there excitement, real excitement, around Robert Griffin III after the opener in New Orleans when he's lying on his back watching Pierre Garçon score on that long touchdown pass? There absolutely was. They were 3-6 going into the bye, and they needed to run off their last seven, to get to the division title, and that was exciting. But it's not the same as everything is possible from the middle of October on. And that's true whether they win this weekend or lose this weekend. They could be four. Think about how you would have felt if on September 1st somebody said, you know, the Commanders are going to be 4-2 after 6 weeks. You would have taken that 100 times out of 100 because for once they're building a season, going like from ahead. The last time they really were ahead in the season like this was 2008 and Jim Zorn. And I think they had outscored their opponents through 4-1. A 4-1 start by a total of 22 points or something.
Yeah, all those games were close, right?
Exactly. It wasn't like this kind of taking care of business.
And Jason Campbell was the quarterback.
Yes, right, exactly. It was a nice start. That's all it was. They got to 6-2, finished 2-6, and missed the playoffs at 8-8. This one really genuinely feels like they're playing from ahead because, you know, the margin of victory is the best in the sport, I believe. Their scoring offense is the highest, which is like, again, the fact that they don't have to just squeeze everything out of all their possessions just to get to 21 points, like that's a monumental shift in the style and the feel of what this team is.
Well, of, you know, all of the results through 5 weeks, qualitative and quantitative, one that is actually amazing, you just reminded me of it, is they are the highest scoring team in the league. And, you know, it's not like they've had a bunch of turnovers that have scored or set up short fields or the special teams got too. This is all the offense, you know, at 31 points per game. So we've mentioned the 2012 season. I think the answers to this are kind of easy, but what you say, we were, even though they started 3-6, the start to that season, you mentioned the New Orleans game, you know, the Minnesota game when he ran for 76 yards and 100 or whatever on one play. And I think at that point they were 3-3 or something like that. There's a lot of similarities in terms of the way the town felt, the fan base felt in that moment. What's different to you other than the record?
That's a good question. Because I think you're right. And I think at that point, you know, the coach was Mike Shanahan, who was trying to get into the Hall of Fame. So you felt at that point that you had the solution there. I mean, I think the owner being different is a major, major thing because we don't know everything we need to know about Josh Harris as an owner. And I think just saying everything is solved at that position because somebody other than Dan owns the team is a little bit too simplistic. But I also am pretty comfortable saying I don't think the owner is trying to befriend the quarterback, even though the quarterback is such a star at this point. I think the quarterback acts like, you know, to borrow a Ryan Zimmerman phrase, like employee number five. He does his work. He's professional. And I don't think the owner is in any way kind of meddling with any of that. So if there's a difference internally from 2012, that would be the biggest thing. I think externally, if there's any sort of hesitance in the fan base, and I'm not sensing it when I listen to you guys, like people call in, like it doesn't seem like people are holding back, but I do think if he gets hurt, and even if it's a minor injury, and even if it only costs him a quarter or a game or two games or something, there will be that kind of ghost of RG3 thing because that turned so swiftly after the Seattle playoff game and the whole, you know, all in for week one and the drama that played out from there. It just would be I'm not saying the situations would play out the same in any way. It just would be hard to distance yourself from how that played out, a dozen years ago.
Yeah. I mean, in having this conversation, you nailed the first one. We got a different owner. The owner's not going to want to befriend a 23-year-old, you know, kid because he's a star. We know that that was Dan's favorite thing to do. And then meddle between relationships, you know, with coaches and players. And two, I just think Daniels is a completely different player. You know, Barry, he is so much more advanced as a passer than RG3 was coming into the league or ever was in the league. And then personality-wise, there's probably a big difference between the two as well.
Yeah, and I think I talked to somebody who had worked with the LSU program last year and had a real feel for Daniels. And this is before I even appreciated what was showing up here. But he's not the greatest interview. He's like, I'm not waiting
correct
on his every word at the podium today. But who cares about that? He is professional. He is prepared. He is diligent. He is a star, undeniably a star, who does not separate himself from the room because he's a star. In fact, he's inclusive. He's got a great personality. You can tell, and I don't want to throw shade or make determinations about Caleb Williams at the moment. He just played a really good game on Sunday, and he could be a great quarterback. But you can tell how much fun these guys think it is to play with Jaden Daniels. And you probably talked about the mic'd up Sam Cosmi thing from a couple weeks ago where he just said, like, you know, on the side, like, dude, how much fun is it to play with five? Like, you know, like that's really telling because players know players and you cannot pull one over on them if you're not being real. And this guy seems to be being real.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the way we felt 12 years ago in early October is identical to the way we feel right now, but I don't think it's the same thing at all. We'll see. All right. So how do they do Sunday in Baltimore?
You know, the thing that's, I think it'd be surprising to me if they stopped the Baltimore offense on the ground in particular, because, you know, it's Lamar and Derrick Henry, and there's no shame in not being able to stop them. They're gaining 212 yards, I think, a game on the ground. But another thing that has changed is, like, this team can now win a shootout. Like, if the game is going to be 38-35, flip a coin to who wins it, right? Like, it's just, that's another visceral change. Is, like, in past years, if the Washington team had gone up to Baltimore, like, and we'd be talking about the game beforehand, like, well, if they can keep it to 21-17, maybe they have a chance, and they do create a turnover and they get a short field and all that stuff. None of that stuff matters, because every time this kid gets the ball, he's a threat to score. He's a threat to score on 3rd and 13 from his minus side of the field because he's such a playmaker. So I don't expect Washington to be able to slow down Baltimore's offense. It's just too strong, physical. It probably doesn't play to Washington's strength. But I don't think that Baltimore is going to hold Washington to 17 points either. And that's, you know, that's just another in a series of stunning things to say, that, like, you kind of chalk up that this team is going to put together scoring drives. And, I, you know, after week two against the Giants, I was wondering, like, how are they ever going to punch it through and get into the end zone, because maybe they don't have weapons when they get down close. But that puts aside the fact that they put together 7 scoring drives in that game. Like, they sometimes have had years where it takes 3 games to put together 7 scoring drives. So I am looking forward to this game in a way that I haven't for a regular season game in a long time, not just because of what's at stake, but because of the style in which it can potentially play out, which is a much more interesting, exciting style than Washington has put on the field in a long, long time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, the anticipation for that Cincinnati game for me was like the highest it's been. Then I couldn't wait to see him. And I say him because it's really about him in so many ways. Watch him against Arizona, then the same on Sunday. But this one is, it's, you know, I've been saying it all week, Barry, this is the highest profile early season game this franchise has had in decades, probably going back to, you know, when they were the defending champs in 92. That's how long it's been, because every other run when they've, you know, been in contention or they've actually made the playoffs few and far between were late season runs. Nothing happened this early. So, yeah.
The only game that could be possible is the last game of the 2012 season when they played Dallas.
Right, at the end of the year.
At the end of the year, and it was flexed.
Yes.
And I would just close, Kevin, by saying this. Like, they NBC apparently wanted to flex this game right. into Sunday Night Football, and CBS used its card to say, no, we're protecting the game for 1 o'clock. The networks have flipped from putting every Washington game at 1 to...
I looked at the schedule. There actually aren't that many opportunities between now and the Dallas game Thanksgiving week for them to get flexed. But that's another story altogether. I don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to ask you this. Am I overreacting? And I'm sure this has been a reaction that I've had previously. I love this time of year in baseball. Love it. I think that we got to go to best of 7 in this division series round and best of 5 in the first wild card weekend round. What do you think?
It would have to come at the cost of cutting back the regular season to 154 or 152 or something like that, because it can't, or, and Scott Boras has put forth this idea, or going to a neutral site for the World Series, because you can't play World Series games in Cleveland or Detroit on November 15th.
Saying cut back the regular season because of the possibility of bad weather if it extends later into,
yes.
you know, November.
Correct. Okay. And I think the players, and I don't necessarily agree with you that it has to go. My answer for the Dodgers not winning a best of five series, or the Phillies maybe, you know, 95-win Phillies team not advancing in a best of five, is like, play better. Just win those games. Construct your team in a way that you have a better chance. I don't mind the flukiness of it. I would like this postseason to end with a marquee matchup of Phillies-Yankees, a Dodgers-Yankees, Otani, Soto, all right. that kind of stuff, and I'll be disappointed a little bit if it's, you know, Cleveland or, you know, Kansas City, San Diego. But my answer to the whittling out of the 100-win teams, and there aren't 100-win teams this year, but the best team is just those guys got to play better when it counts. So I don't get as worked up about it. And these games have just been, they've been awesome.
They've been awesome so far. I mean, I actually really would love to see Bryce Harper and the Phillies get this to a game five, just to see him in more of those clutch moments, which I think is compelling sports watches. All right. Thanks. Hope you're well.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Barry Zwerluga, everybody. It's different around these parts these days. That is for sure. All right, we'll do some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And if you listen to this radio show via the podcast at theteam980.com, rate us and review us, especially on Apple and Spotify. Follow us as well. It's really helpful.